This is Mulberry Christian Radio with our weekly national news report. President Donald Trump responded to the continuing fight of movie production to other countries by floating a 100% tariff on films made outside the U.S. Many in Hollywood and elsewhere are now responding with gratitude, but are instead lashing out at Trump's proposal. The film industry has been steadily fleeing Hollywood and California for more than a decade as locations in Georgia, Louisiana, New Mexico, and cities like New York and Chicago have been increasingly drawing productions their way. However, film producers have also been waving goodbye to the U.S. and taking up business in the U.K., Canada, Australia, and many sports spots in Europe. California's radical left-wing Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom has desperately tried to offer tax incentives to filmmakers, but the enticements are simply too little and too late for many producers. Film and TV production in the U.S. is already down 40%, and that slide is continuing. The result has been that many film industry workers have lost their jobs, and some have been forced to move elsewhere to try and keep their livelihoods intact. Now Trump has stepped in to offer a tariff incentive to keep film producers from fleeing the country. The president took to his Truth Social account to speak to his alarm about the decline of the film industry in the U.S. The movie industry in America is dying a very fast death, he wrote. Other countries are offering all sorts of incentives to draw our filmmakers and studios away from the U.S. Hollywood and many other areas within the U.S. are being devastated. This is a concerned effort by other nations and therefore a national security threat. It is, in addition to everything else, messaging and propaganda. Therefore, I am authorizing the Department of Commerce and the United States Trade Representative to immediately begin the process of instituting a 100% tariff on any and all movies coming into our country that are produced in foreign lands. We want movies made in America again. Trump's suggestion to help the industry, though, is not sitting well with many in Hollywood and the global film industry, according to Variety. And many studio execs and film producers are blasting Trump over the tariff idea. This makes no sense, one producer in the UK screamed, according to Variety. It implies that a U.S. film is meant to shoot in the U.S., but the Harry Potter films, Lord of the Rings, Schindler's List, Mission Impossible, Gladiator, Aviator, and so many more are U.S. films that are shot overseas for obvious reasons. Do these films have to shoot in the U.S. from now on? It's an absurd announcement with no meaning, no understanding of storytelling, our creative impulses. If this goes the distance, it will decimate the industry. But you can't just stop production, another industry insider exclaimed. Officials in France countered the president's policy idea and said that film productions in their country are not even subject to tariffs in the first place because they are services, not products. Technically, films are services on which you can't impose tariffs. It could end up in court and take months. One French film industry insider told Variety, while another insisted that we don't sell goods, we sell service. So I don't see how it could be taxable. It's difficult to know what we're talking about at this stage, what it concerns. It's still very vague, and the Trump things can change every day. Still, most in the film industry are taking a wait-and-see attitude on Trump's tariff suggestion. Many say there is no way to logically react until something actually happens, and that Trump's social media post is not something they can make plans over. We just have to wait and see what Trump's next move is. It's like in chess. We don't know where this is going to go, said Italian producer Marco Valerio Pugini. Pugini also noted that some films simply can't be made in the U.S., but I think the U.S. studios will continue to shoot abroad when they want exotic locations. They aren't going to start shooting James Bond in Detroit, he joked. Finally, another insider worries that heavy tariffs on filmmaking would lead to unwanted consequences. Ultimately, it's just going to push the studios to make much heavier use of AI, says former Abu Dhabi film chief Hans Faken, and others warn that such a tariff would speed global film production to disassociate with the U.S. entirely. President Donald Trump revealed that he would be signing an executive order Monday reducing the cost of prescription and pharmaceutical drugs by 30% to 80%. In a post on Truth Social, Trump pointed out that for many years the world has wondered why prescriptions and pharmaceutical drugs are so much more expensive in the U.S. than they are in any other nation, adding that sometimes they are 5 to 10 times more expensive than the same drug manufactured in the exact same laboratory or plant by the same company. Trump also criticized the pharmaceutical and drug companies and the Democratic Party in his post. The pharmaceutical/drug companies would say for years that it was research and development costs, and that all of these costs were and would be for no reason whatsoever borne by the suckers of America alone, Trump said. Campaign contributions can do wonders, but not with me and not with the Republican Party. We're going to do the right thing, something that the Democrats have fought for many years. I am pleased to announce that on Monday in the White House at 9 a.m., I will be signing one of the most consequential executive orders in our country's history, Trump said. Prescription drug and pharmaceutical prices will be reduced almost immediately by 30 to 80%. Trump added that the cost of prescriptions and the pharmaceutical drugs would rise throughout the world in order to equalize and for the first time in many years bring fairness to America. I will be instituting a most favored nation's policy whereby the United States will pay the same price as the nation that pays the lowest price anywhere in the world, Trump continued. Our country will finally be treated fairly, and our citizens' health care costs will be reduced by numbers never even thought of before. A fact sheet from the White House in April revealed that Trump has signed an executive order directing the Department of Health and Human Services to take steps to significantly reduce drug prices for American patients. Trump's executive order also provides massive discounts to low-income patients for life-saving medication, such as insulin, and helps states reduce drug prices through the facilitation of importation programs that could save states millions in prescription drug costs. And Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, the second-ranking Democrat in the Senate, announced that he will not seek re-election. The Senate Democratic Whip, who has served in the Senate since 1996, made the announcement in a video message posted to social media. The decision of whether to run for re-election has not been easy. I truly love the job of being a United States Senator, but in my heart I know it's time to pass the torch, so I'm announcing that I will not be seeking re-election at the end of my term, the 80-year-old senator said, meaning he will leave office when his term expires, he in 2027. The people of Illinois have honored me with this responsibility longer than anyone elected to the Senate in our state's history. I'm truly grateful. Right now, the challenges facing our country are historic and unprecedented. The threat to our democracy and way of life are very real, and I can assure you I'll do everything in my power to fight for Illinois and the future of our country every day of my remaining time in the Senate, he continued, knowing that he has given over half of my life to House and Senate congressional services. He thanked his family and staff and assured the people of Illinois that his Senate colleague, Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat of Illinois, is a trusted friend and an effective leader who will be a real asset to Illinois and the nation as our state's senior senator. Durbin served in the U.S. House of Representatives from 1982 on before taking his Senate seat in 1996. If he went on to seek re-election and won, he would have been 88 years old at the end of his next term. You observe your colleagues and watch what happens. For some of them, there's this miraculous aging process where they never seem to get too old, he said, according to WBEZ Chicago. Durbin follows other Democratic senators, including Senator Jeanne Shaheen, a Democrat of New Hampshire, Senator Tina Smith, Democrat of Minnesota, who have also announced they will not seek re-election. On April 29, 1607, the first permanent English settlers landed at present-day Cape Henry in Virginia Beach, Virginia. They planted a cross and claimed the New World for Christ, King, and country. Through the years, CBN has commemorated that first landing moment with special reports, prayer events, and even a documentary. This year, the White House also commemorated the event with this proclamation. On Thursday, President Donald Trump hosted a National Day of Prayer celebration in the White House Rose Garden. During that event, he announced the creation of a Religious Liberty Commission. Later Thursday night, the CBN News Channel broadcast the official National Day of Prayer event, co-hosted by former NFL football player Tim Tebow from Washington, D.C.'s Museum of the Bible. The White House announced Thursday that National Security Advisor Mike Waltz is being shifted from the White House role to a nomination for U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. And yesterday, President Trump issued an executive order designed to end taxpayer funding for the National Public Radio and the Public Broadcasting Service. A nationwide movement designed to protect children and their families from an agenda determined to sexualize children kicks off Monday in New York City. It will move to Miami, Houston, Seattle, and Los Angeles during the rest of the month. The National Community Church in Washington, D.C. has the Love, Justice, Prison, and Reentry Ministry that's part of the Second Chance effort. The program allows church members to assist individuals who have left prison and need assistance with unexpected challenges. Kuwait has freed 23 Americans in the last 2 months, including military contractors and veterans. CBN News reporter Brody Carter recently toured a neighborhood in Columbia that's considered so dangerous many locals avoid it. He visited with missionaries Travis and Beth Burkhalter, who explained the fate beads being used to restore hope to forgotten indigenous families. And My Free Freestone is the drug most commonly used in chemical abortions, and a new study finds that far from being safe and effective, it puts women at significant risk. On this week's edition of Healthy Living, author Christy McCammon shared her 100-pound weight loss journey. And Jeremy Renner, known for his role in the Avengers film franchise, says that he briefly died in 2023 in the midst of a harrowing snowplow accident. Renner says that he saw his lifetime all at once and felt exhilarating peace. And New Orleans Saints quarterback Derek Carr testified recently about God's goodness to him and to his family in the midst of his wife's miscarriage and his own shoulder injury. The brand new podcast, Heaven Meets Earth, explores real-life miracles and answered prayers with Abigail Robertson and Ryan Bethel, alongside today's top Christian voices. Three male high school students in Loudoun County, Virginia, complained about the presence of a biological female in the boys' locker room and the fact that she had recorded a video of them discussing their discomfort. Loudoun County Public Schools system launched a Title IX sexual harassment investigation against the young men. Attorney General Jason Myers now is investigating the county's decision. During the Biden administration, a 10x19 painting of Christ walking on the water was moved from its prominent position in the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy, covered with a curtain, and later moved to a flood-prone basement after complaint January 23. New Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has ordered that the painting be reinstalled and also requested a replica of the painting be hung behind his desk in his federal office. Thousands stood on the shores of Huntington Beach, California recently as 7,752 people were baptized. In a new report, the United States Department of Health and Human Services has denounced gender-affirming care practices as destructive and not acceptable treatment for gender dysphoria in children. And in this week's edition of Healthy Living, Clarissa Mall discussed teen grief, how the body copes with grief, and how it affects our faith. And the Pulitzer Committee has drawn heavy criticism for awarding the Pulitzer Prize to a Palestinian journalist who justified the Hamas kidnappings on October 7, 2023. On Monday night, a Christian mom advanced to the top seven in American Idol. The makers of Jimmy Dean breakfast sandwiches and Hillshire Farm meats will remove artificial dyes after Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has pushed to remove the dyes from America's food supply. As a recognized leader in protein, none of the products Tyson Foods offers through our school nutrition programs include petroleum-based synthetic dyes as ingredients. Donnie King, President and CEO of Tyson Foods, said in an earnings call on Monday. King noted that most of the company's products, including its chicken nuggets, do not contain any of these types of dyes, and we have been proactively reformulating these few products that do. PepsiCo said that its snack products such as Lay's and Tostitos will be out of artificial colors by the end of this year. In a statement about the need to remove petroleum-based synthetic dyes from America's food supply, Kennedy said, "For too long, some food producers have been feeding Americans petroleum-based chemicals without their knowledge or consent. These poisonous compounds offer no nutritional benefit and pose real, measurable dangers to our children's health and development. That era is coming to an end. We're restoring gold standard science, applying common sense, and beginning to earn back the public's trust. And we're doing it by working with industry to get these toxic dyes out of the food our families eat every day. According to the HHS press release, the Food and Drug Administration will take 6 specific actions. 1. Establish a national standard and timeline for the food industry to transition from petrochemical-based dyes to natural alternatives. 2. Initiate the process to revoke authorization for 2 synthetic food colorings, citrus red number 2 and orange B, within the coming months. 3. Work with industry to eliminate 6 remaining synthetic dyes, FD&C green number 3, FD&C red number 40, FD&C yellow number 5, FD&C yellow number 6, FD&C blue number 1, and FD&C blue number 2 from the food supply by the end of next year. Authorize 4 new natural color additives in the coming weeks, while also accelerating the review and approval of others. 5. Partner with the National Institute of Health to conduct comprehensive research in how food additives impact children's health and development. And 6. Request food companies to remove FD&C red number 3 sooner than the 2027-28 deadline previously required. Today, the FDA is asking food companies to substitute petrochemical dyes with natural ingredients for American children, as they already do in Europe and Canada. FDA Commissioner Marty McCarry, MD, MPH, said in a statement. The move has received bipartisan applause from Senator Cynthia Loomis, Republican of Wyoming, and Cory Booker, a Democrat of New Jersey. And Pope Leo XIV, the newly elected leader of the Catholic Church, previously opposed the promotion of gender theory while serving as Bishop of Chicago in Peru. According to the New York Times, the Holy Father previously opposed a government plan to add teachings on gender in schools. The promotion of gender ideology is confusing because it seeks to create genders that don't exist, he told local media at the time. The Pope's statement stands in line with his predecessor, Pope Francis, who repeatedly denounced gender ideology as an attack on children. In 2024, Pope Francis even referred to gender ideology as one of the ugliest ideologies of modern times, per the Vatican News. Pope Francis on Friday again spoke out against gender theory, describing it as an ugly ideology of our times because it erases all distinctions between men and women. To cancel the difference is to erase humanity. Man and woman instead exist of fruitful tensions, he said. The remarks came as he opened his address to the participants in the international symposium, Man, Woman, Image of God Towards an Anthropology of Vocations, held in the Vatican on March 1st and 2nd. This fundamental anthropological truth is sometimes overlooked in today's cultural context, where human beings tend to be reduced to their mere material and primary needs. Yet Pope Francis said, they are more than this, created by God in his own image. Man and woman carry within themselves a desire for eternity and happiness that God himself has planted in their hearts and that they are called to fulfill through specific vocations. Thy Father has also promoted traditional Catholic teachings on abortion per the New York Post. In 2015, Provost posted a photograph from the March for Life rally in Chicago, exhorting his followers, "Let's defund human life at all times," noted the report. Previous also retweeted a 2017 Catholic News Agency article on New York Archbishop Timothy Cardinal Dolan condemning abortion at a mass ahead of the March for Life rally in Washington, D.C., it added. It's still unclear how much of the Farm Bill House Republicans can ultimately enact. Senators have warned that many of these proposals will run afoul of the Byrd Rule, which dictates what can happen in the Senate via reconciliation. A major question remaining for the House Agricultural Panel, though, is how their SNAP cost savings plan will score. Excuse me. The committee is waiting on final CBO scores on their proposal to shift around 10% of SNAP costs onto the states. That's a plan that GOP moderates like, but may not score high enough to reach the $230 billion in cuts the panel is required to produce under its reconciliation instructions. Leaders of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus are in Monterrey, Mexico today to protest against the Trump administration's immigration and border policy. House Democrats have drawn outside attention for their international travel aimed at highlighting President Donald Trump's hardline immigration agenda. Democrats have accused Trump of foregoing due process in his effort to deport undocumented immigrants living in the U.S. Four House Democrats also went to El Salvador following Van Hollen's trip to meet with officials at the U.S. Embassy there and to highlight Abrego Garcia's case. Meanwhile, the White House and Republicans have relentlessly criticized Democrats over their defense of Abrego Garcia and their trips on his behalf. Top Trump administration officials, including DHS Secretary Kristi Noem on Thursday, have said repeatedly that even if Abrego Garcia returns to the United States, he will immediately be deported again. Republicans have argued that Democrats are prioritizing undocumented immigrants over Americans, including those impacted by crimes committed by immigrants. And the National Federation of Independent Business is launching new ads pressing Congress to make the 20% deduction for pass-through business permanent. The group is spending over $1 million on the ad campaign through at least the August recess. If Congress doesn't do their job, it could literally mean closing our doors, a small business owner says in one spot. The pass-through deduction is a high priority for Republicans, so NFIB is likely to get its wish in the tax bill. Two former U.S. Men's National Team legends, Alex Lawless and Stuart Holden, rolled in Lawless, an outspoken analyst on the Fox Sports soccer coverage, was known for his flowing red hair in his playing days. Holden, Fox Sports lead soccer color commentator, starred for the Bolton Wanderers in the Premier League in 2010. The center who questioned the executives had a lot of ideas about how to regulate AI bias, whether to stop states from regulating AI at all, and how to address data use and intellectual property concerns. Sanders also thought about ways to start up new initiatives on standards, education, and climate impact. And finally, Virginia school district is being investigated after they launched a sexual harassment investigation against three high school male students who reportedly complained about the presence of a biological female in the boys' locker room. Attorney General Jason Myers announced earlier this week that the state will investigate Loudoun County Public Schools for launching a Title IX investigation against the students after expressing that they were uncomfortable when a biological female changed clothes in the boys' locker room. The Loudoun County School Board policy allows students to use school bathrooms and locker rooms according to gender identity rather than biological sex, WJLA-TV reports. The policy also prohibits video and audio recordings in locker rooms. The young male students are being investigated because of a video recording the transgender students submitting of their conversation in the locker room. Seth Wolf is a parent to one of the students. He withheld his name in speaking to WJLA-TV, but his attorney later confirmed to Mercury News that Wolf was the father who spoke on behalf of his son. He was questioning why there was a female in the male's locker room, the father said. I don't think my son should be punished for expressing his First Amendment right and being able to ask questions. They were having a conversation with their peer group. They weren't directly asking or interacting with this other student. And just the fact that they can't ask those simple questions, and then if they do, they're being punished in a way where now we have some serious charges that can affect his future going forward. Wolf expressed outrage that his child was facing serious consequences for sharing his opinion, but the transgender student is allegedly flying under the radar, even though she violated the policy of recording his son in the locker room. And this concludes our weekly national news report brought to you by Mulberry Christian Radio. Until next time, have a blessed week.